You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Outkick the Show. Well, that was the longest second half I think I've ever seen in soccer. 9 minutes of stoppage time. A review to see whether or not there was a foul. Handball reviews. We did not play well in that second half. First half, we were dominant. Christian Pulisic gets the goal. Hope he's going to be okay. Leaves with some sort of injury at the half. We won, right? Ultimately, it goes in as a dub, but if you were watching this game, we lost. Look, I've been anti-offsides for a long time in soccer. I think it's the dumbest rule in sports, and if I were in charge of soccer, I would do away with offsides. Hard enough to score a goal anyway, and we had a second goal that was negated because one guy's body was half a length behind another one, and I always use this analogy, but imagine how much different football would be if you could never throw the ball deep, if you could never have an explosive play, if there had to be a defender behind the offensive player at the time at which he scored a touchdown. It would change the game a lot, and I think it would change it for the worst. So I thought the second goal would have changed everything, but my goodness, we did not have that many good scoring opportunities in the second half. We barely had any possession at all. Iran was just dominating control of the ball in the second half. And given the historic legacy of American soccer, I'm not going to lie, I anticipated at any moment that there would be a goal scored by Iran to tie the game and knock us out of the next round. But we won. We advanced to the round of 16, which is the goal every World Cup. Come in first or second in your group. We now go head-to-head with the Netherlands. I do not know a lot about the Netherlands soccer team, but certainly I'll be watching on Saturday morning to see if we can advance to the round of eight. And now you just kind of exhale, right? Because next year, next World Cup in 4 years from now, who knows what the world will look like, it's going to be to a large extent in the United States. It's in North America. It's in Canada. It's also in Mexico. But we should have an opportunity to have a lot of these players get older to start to round into shape. That's sort of the golden generation, so to speak. So now, if you are not someone who watches a lot of U.S. soccer, we are playing with house money, okay? We have reached the knockout stage. Any win that we get here is just fabulous opportunity for the young guys. There's no pressure now. This was a pressure-packed game. And I'm not even talking about all the crazy geopolitical tensions that are at play here, but certainly that's a big part of this. Iran is a country that would desperately have loved to beat the United States, not only because they are soccer obsessed, but also because their leadership believes that we're the great Satan. And so to be in this position where you couldn't tie, you certainly couldn't lose, you had to win outright, all of the pressure to come out and make it happen. Congrats to Greg Berhalter, to the United States for Berhalter, to the United States for Christian Pulisic finding a way to get that goal. I hope he's okay. But this is one of those situations where it's a lot like the NCAA tournament now. Now you're going to have penalty kicks at play. If you're one of those people who says, oh, every soccer game ends in a tie, now you have to have a winner. And so you're in the knockout stage, like the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. Anything can happen. Certainly in soccer, the best team, the team that possesses the ball, the team that dominates control and pace of the match sometimes doesn't win. And the U.S. was ranked somewhere around the 15th best team, according to FIFA, and we have advanced to the round of 16. So it's a big win. Monumental win. For this young American soccer team to advance, and now we get to play against the Netherlands with no pressure. Again, breaking this thing down, We got dominated in the second half. And I thought we played a little bit conservatively. We didn't really ever have strong opportunities to put this thing away. First half, we dominated them. I thought completely controlled the game. This has happened a few times now. I thought we took complete control of the game against Wales and then faded in the second half against Wales. I thought the same thing happened against Iran. The difference was we didn't give up a penalty kick. They tried to flop and draw one, but thankfully it didn't end up happening. Wasn't rewarded. And so we are on to the next round, and I hope that we can find a opportunity to win there. All right, I'm still fired up. That felt like the longest second half ever. Like I said, 9 minutes of stoppage time in and of itself is kind of crazy to put us in that position, but we did it. We got the win. It is significant that we managed to do so. All right, so that's my reaction. Let me also just say this. I talked about this earlier in the day on Fox News, and I believe I mentioned it on Clay and Buck as well. A lot of people who don't watch very much soccer say, how come the U.S. women are so much better than the U.S. men? And let me take an opportunity to use this game against Iran to illustrate a larger geopolitical truth. The reason why the U.S. women are better than most of the other women in the world is because women in the United States have basic human rights, much more so than most of the rest of the world. In fact, if you just look at every matchup in the Women's World Cup, you can almost pick the winner solely based on which country gives more human rights and basic freedoms to the women. Our women are not better athletes than every other woman, all the other women around the world. What they have is the opportunity, thanks to American freedoms and human rights, to be able to play soccer. Some of these countries don't let their women play soccer at all, barely involved in sports. Some of these countries won't let their women even wear shorts. They insist that they wear a hijab. And this was Iran forced its players to sing the national anthem because they said they would torture players' families if the players didn't sing the national anthem. I just want you to think about that. And for all the people out there who enjoy trying to tear the United States down on a global stage, Colin Kaepernick took a knee for the national anthem and probably made tens of millions of dollars for himself. He was rewarded for not respecting the American national anthem before a sporting event. No danger. Actual reward. These Iranian soccer players, their families were facing torture if they repeated what they did at the first game, which was refuse to sing the national anthem. So this is a big deal. And our feud, as it were, is not with the Iranian people. It's with the Iranian leadership, with the Ayatollah, with the clerics of their faith who are not allowing the people of Iran to have basic human rights and freedoms. And that's what all the protests have been about.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. I'm Clay Travis, and Outkick the Show is going to keep right on rolling.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So one reason why our men struggle compared to our women is because men all over the world are allowed basic human rights and their athleticism is celebrated and they are trained and they can be well compensated for it. That doesn't happen in much of the rest of the world. So our women are incredibly advantaged. And that's why I was so frustrated and wish they had talked and spoken out more. The U.S. women, instead of denigrating America on the global stage as they did, I wish they had spoken to the reason for their excellence is basic human rights, which are embraced around the world. Instead, unfortunately, many American athletes choose to denigrate our country. But it's a huge win. I am a sports fan through and through. I played soccer poorly in high school. I was a defender. I was a fullback. And so anyway, I know a little bit about the sport. I was excited to see us win, and felt like a long, long half. All right. From soccer, every Tuesday I've been giving you the breakdown of the playoff picture every week as we finish in the NFL. We have finished, I guess it's week 12 in the NFL. Playoff picture here quickly, and then I got to go write more on the book that I'm working on that's going to be out in the fall. The Bills would be the overall number one seed now. They are sitting at 8-3. And I believe actually that this is actually wrong, because, they've got the order wrong, which is kind of embarrassing for ESPN. Your overall number one seed in the playoff picture would be the Kansas City Chiefs. They are sitting at 9-2 right now. Your two seed, would be the, let me just see. They've got all this screwed up. Hold on a sec. And let me just go back and look at this and make sure that this ESPN standing thing on the playoffs is all out of whack. All right, here we got it. Kansas City Chiefs would be your one seed. They would get the bye. They're sitting at 9-2. Miami Dolphins would be your two seed. They are 8-3. Tua's been on fire ever since he came back from the concussion, from the injury that he had. Your three seed would be the Tennessee Titans. Your four seed would be the Baltimore Ravens. Five seed, the Bills. Cincinnati Bengals would be the six, and the Giants would be your seven seed. That means if the season were ending today, Miami Dolphins would host the Giants in Miami as the 2-7 matchup. Titans would host the Bengals and probably lose again, frankly, to the Bengals. I was at that game without Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon. The Bengals got the win, and the Ravens would host the Bills in what would be an epic, epic matchup there in terms of exactly how this would be set out. So that's the AFC. You got New England and the Chargers just outside of the playoff picture, and then you got Indy, Jacksonville, and Houston, like with limited to no chance to actually make a run. Titans probably going to end up winning this thing overall. In the NFC, you have got the Eagles at 10-1, they would be the one seed. The Minnesota Vikings sitting at 9-2, they would be your two seed. The 49ers would be your three, followed by Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who would get a home playoff game, even though they have a losing record. Dallas Cowboys, the Giants, and Washington rounding out your playoff picture, with the Seahawks just outside of that playoff picture right now. So you would see Washington go on the road against the Vikings. You would see the 49ers host the Giants, and you would see Tampa Bay hosting the Dallas Cowboys. All right, I'm still fired up, still recovering from that epic ending. I appreciate all of you out there. My goodness, U.S. advances, Netherlands up next. I'll see you on Saturday for that game. Good start in the morning. Then we have all the college football playoff games. We also get the college football playoff rankings. I talked about that a lot later yesterday. I'll react to that tomorrow on the program. In the meantime, go USA. Big win over Iran. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. This has been OutKick, the show.